In Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. If you find it, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read it. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Let's read it again. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Let's go. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Thank you, mighty God, for the word of faith brings light. The word of faith brings power. And the word of faith unveils your glory. We receive an entrance of your word, the life and the light and the power and the glory of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It is the essence of honesty. Say with me, honesty.
Honesty.
Honesty. Honesty means sincerity. To be truthful, to be just. So honesty means sincerity, to be truthful, to be just, to be fair. It means not to be prejudiced, not to be prejudiced. It also means not to be unhinged to God's word, not to be unhinged to God's word. I think I'll start from that point, not to be unhinged. Now, if you look at the door, you will notice that every door has hinges that connect the door to the frame so that you can open and close. Every building has pillars, columns, to be unhinged from the pillars and the columns means that you become weakly connected to the building. Now the scripture says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Say with me, the worlds were framed by the words of God. So that the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the world has a frame. You don't have to say it. Now listen to me. The world has a frame. Alright? Just like the door has a what? A frame. The building has a frame. It has pillars and corners. And the scripture says that the worlds were framed by the words of God. The structure, the pillar of this earth is the word of God. The mountains, the hills, the rivers, the seas, they were all framed by the words of God. The things that we see physically, the chair on which you are sitting was made out of metal and leather, iron ore, animal hide, all were raw materials that God created. And based on the properties of iron and leather and foam, which is a petrochemical, all that we're sitting on today that is solid, tangible, beautiful, the clothes that we wear, the cars we sit in, the building in which we are, the original material by which they were made, the scripture says, was the word of God. The word of God. By faith, the worlds were made by the word. The things that we see were not made of things that do appear. God spoke, let there be light. God spoke, let the dry land appear. God spoke, let the sun, moon, and stars appear. God spoke, let the waters bring forth animals. God spoke. What's wrong? He spoke. He spoke. Scripture says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Today, if you see this building standing at this corner of 237th Street, it is because someone spoke to an architect. I desire to have this edifice put up. I have X amount of resources. These are the functions that I want the building to be able to accomplish. And the architect drew a design, sent it to the building department. Building department looked at the design and said it's in compliance, and they approved it. From the architect, it went to a civil engineer. He said this plan is workable. Those who do costing put a value to the building and all the materials that will be needed to put it up. And so we have this tangible building. Before then, here was an empty lot. But someone spoke his desire, and that desire to put up this building aligned with city plans for this neighborhood. So they allowed it. It started from some information. Who here has an empty lot, a land on which nothing is built? Who here has a property on which nothing is built? Praise God for your life. Praise God for your lives. Good. Nothing is built because you haven't spoken yet. Amen. Nothing is built because you haven't what? You haven't spoken yet. But the day you go to an architect to start to speak, he's going to ask you for information. What has been in your belly? What do you imagine? You can't start thinking when you get to the architect. You should have thought about something. rich thoughts, and then you begin to speak it. It must be sincere information. This is what I want to do. The architect will say, how many rooms? What are the features of the house? You communicate your sincere intention. The reason why you've not visited the architect yet is probably you are not yet ready. You're not yet ready with the resources to build. Can't go and sit in front of the architect and waste his time. And after that, he says, well, you got to put a deposit for this. And he says, I was just trying to share my ideas. The architect is not ready until you are sincere with your intentions. There are a lot of people who have dreams and desires, but it never materializes. It never materializes because there is no concise information that they can project about that desire. There are times when you hear people speak their desires and their dreams, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, oh, dreamer. New York City ain't short of them. Are you hearing me? So it is important. When America was founded, the founding fathers, most of them came out of Europe, and they saw how the European style monarchies operated, and they are like, no, not in this new found land. So they decided that they were going to build a nation based on the word of God. They said it very clearly in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that there is a creator. There is a what? A creator who has blessed us with the blessings of life. Hallelujah. Who has endowed us with the blessing of life. We have a creator. On the United States dollar currency bills, if you have one, you can show us. It states very clearly, I think I should have one here. It says, behind, in God we trust. Say with me, in God we trust. You want to take it from me? You want to see? Okay. In God we trust. Now, that is a very bold statement. That means we believe in the God who framed the worlds by his word. Amen. Give me back my money. We believe in the God who framed the worlds by his word. And so in the beginning, they tried to shape the laws of these nations to hinge on the scriptures. To what? To hinge on the scriptures. That's how this nation started. But with time, you know the story. People with other agenda came in and began to try to muzzle the constitution, muzzle the laws of the land by removing the Ten Commandments and fighting against any resemblance of God in legislation. And I believe that where we have a challenge as a body of Christ, it's not in openly fighting and protesting, but I believe that we should hold legislators accountable to that bold declaration, "In God we trust." Every legislation, we should scrutinize it and find out where it departs from the pillars of this earth. America's problem and the problem of our society is because a lot of the laws today are a departure from the pillars. It's like trying to fix a door where there is no frame. Most of the laws are extensions that are not hooked up to the pillars of truth. And the ninth commandment is about that honesty. If God created, if an architect like God created the heavens and the earth, he expects that every rule, in every business you open, you will have to set rules. In every school you start, you have to set rules. In a church, there must be rules. God has no problem with us legislating. But every rule must hinge to the pillars, to the standards, to the columns, or else it's just a matter of time that extension is coming down. It will make a dent in the building. So we notice that instead of society appreciating, society is depreciating. Because there are too many extensions that are not connected to the frame. Too many extensions not connected to the what? To the frame. The church has lost sight of its responsibility to hold the nation accountable. Where does this new legislation hinge? Show me in the scriptures. It's a departure. You see, after the architect has finished this building, we who now occupy this building, we don't have to know that architect to make extensions. All we have to do is to recognize the frames and the pillars. So if we want to make an extension, we have to hook it up. This is one pillar. You notice behind, there is another pillar where Sister Sonia is sitting. We hook it up to this and that, and this and that. And then we can have an extension that is sitting on the pillars. Are you hearing me? An extension that is sitting on the pillars. So when there is earthquake, when there is a storm, no matter what happens, that extension will what? Will stand. Because it's standing on the superstructure of the building. In 1860, when George Washington was elected to be president, and he campaigned on the notion that slavery must come to an end, some southern states defected. They defected. Now, they defected because they wouldn't be allowed to own slaves anymore. Remember, in the Declaration of Independence, everyone agreed that all men are equal. All men are equal. All men are equal. That civil war ought never to be fought. If people remained sincere to themselves and honest about life, all men are equal. Now, it was the Declaration of Independence. Now, when George Washington ran for presidency, and he ran, campaigned on the fact that we're going to make sure that this truth is upheld, when he won the election, bam, some states seceded from the United States. Because they wanted to continue being dishonest with themselves. I wanted to know that the struggles of this nation, there was a lot of protests all across in Boston, in Dallas, and some other places. There's a lot of protests about the issue of prejudice. Can you believe that racism has been abolished on paper, but prejudice still reigns in our nation? It's a dishonesty. And I wanted to know that most of the struggles that individuals are going through is because of that same dishonesty. Because of that same dishonesty, a lot of laws, a lot of systemic structures that are in place in society are meant to enforce that prejudice. Even in the corporate world, when opportunities are being sent, they are sent on the basis of zip code. When goods are priced, they are priced based on zip code. It's systemic prejudice. And so, now, when you want a benefit that you cannot afford because of your systemic situation, you know with me that if you don't falsify the information that they require, then you're not gonna get what others get without struggle. So there is a cycle that is established from the top, where insincere legislators set up a dishonest, insincere system, even though the nation is supposed to be founded on our trust in God, who framed the world by faith. And so anything that will prosper, we believe, should be connected, rooted in God's word. And so now they depart and build extensions because they want to fence. They want to fence some people. And now I am like, I'm tired of being fenced. I gotta get this stuff. If Jack is getting it, I am equal with Jack. So I'm gonna tell them what they want to hear. I'm gonna give them the information they want so that they can give me what I can get. So it's a cycle that may never end. Parents, when our children ask us questions, you know, when children are growing up, they ask a lot of questions. When they ask us a question that it looks like we're not ready with the answer, we tell stories. We tell what? Stories. And later on in life, as they grow up, usually when they get to 14 and 15, they start to make discoveries that Papa told me a lie. Mama told me a lie. One day I was in a meeting with some executives, and a young man accosted his mother right in the business meeting and said, "Mama, you lied to me when I was a child." The mother's face was like, "Kill." Now this young man has now developed a culture of lying. Because parents were what? Dishonest. So they realized that, so that's how adults live with young people. They lie. They are dishonest. That's how you have your way. That's how you get kids to do what they're supposed to do. You lie to them. I believe a lot of us here are guilty. When your kids When the trust is broken between you and your kids, I wanted to know that that's it. Their value systems get tampered with for good. They can't trust you. That's why many of us have issues with our grown-up children, because they discovered that we cannot be trusted. And when they have that at the back of their minds, they cannot come to you for counsel. As they grow up, your role changes to that of a counselor. Your children hit 20. You can't tell them what to do. You just counsel them. So when that time comes, you are at odds with them. You think that your children are stubborn. They are not stubborn. When you have the chance to establish truth and to build values, you always found the way around the truth and built your extensions not to the columns and foundations. It catches up with you. So you find parents are at war constantly with their growing children, and they can't take your counsel, and that's a failure of your stewardship. Your children must, if they trust you, when they are 30, they're still coming back to you. 45, they're coming back to you. There is a board meeting involving billions and billions and major decisions to be making. They're still going to crawl back to you and say, there's a situation at work, and I trust your counsel. What do you think? Supposed to do this? This is what the lawyer says. This is what the accountant says. This is what the engineer says. This is what the board is saying. This is what the workers are saying. And I am torn in between. What do you think? Because you have shown and displayed that you are trustworthy. And God will never disappoint you when your counsels are hinged on the truth. God will not fail you. God will not fail you. Lift up your hands and say, God will not fail me. If my life and my relationship with family and friends are hinged on the truth of God's word. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Now the scripture says that faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Imas, you can put... Oh, sorry, I didn't give you the... Sorry. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Say with me, the elders obtained a good report. A good report. All right. I underline four things here. Good report, elders, evidence, and substance. Say with me, good report, elders, evidence, substance. Ooh, say it again. Good report, elders, evidence, substance. These are the four components of honesty. Good report, elders, evidence, and substance. Now I want you to pay very close attention to me. Good report. I'm going to start from there. Good report is the story. Any information, any narrative that you carry. Hallelujah. Any story, any narrative that you carry any information that you carry in life. It's either a good report or a bad report. Now, every information that you open your mouth to release, you must know the information by full context. Say with me, full context. Full context. That's the first way to be honest. Full context. Now, you remember that the scripture says that thou shalt not gossip or be a tale bearer. Amen. You shall not carry rumors about, because rumors and gossip are partial information. God is not against the media or someone working in the media when he says you shall not be a tale bearer. What he's talking about is an unofficial bearer of information. Say with me, unofficial bearer of information. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not gossip, because you don't have the full narrative. You know, most of the time, my wife will be telling me a story. She hates me for this. And when she finishes the story, she asks for my opinion. And all I do is I say, It has happened over a million times, if I'm not exaggerating. And then she gets into a fight with me. You mean after all that I said, the only answer I get or response is, The reason is because, number one, the information she gave to me is incomplete. The information is none of my business, and the information is also none of her business. So I'm not even interested in knowing more, because she's an unofficial bearer of that information. Every information must have four things. It must have context. It must have history. It must have evidence. It must have substance. Today I'll try what I can, and then continue on Thursday. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Say with me, every information, every honest information must have context, history, evidence, and substance. Otherwise, the response is, Amen. Second Samuel chapter 18. Let's read from verse 19. I want someone who is very, Pastor Faith, is it possible to read for us? 2 Samuel. You know, women naturally love filler. Women like information. 2 Samuel chapter 18 from verse 19 to end.
Second Samuel chapter 18 from verse 19. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, "Let me run now and take the news to the king, how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies." And Joab said to him, "You shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news, because the king's son is dead." Then Joab said to the Hushite, "Go, tell the king what you have seen." So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. And Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said again to Joab, "But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite." So Joab said, "Why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready?" "But whatever happens," he said, "let me run." So he said to him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate, to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked. And there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king. And the king said, "If he is alone, there is news in his mouth." And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "There's another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." So the watchman said, "I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man and comes with good news." So Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, "All is well." Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king." The king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me your servant, I saw a great tumult, and I did not know what it was about." And the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. Just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "There is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you." And the king said to the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" So the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of the Lord, my lord the king, and all who rise against you to do harm, be like that young man." Then the king was deeply moved and went to his chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son."
All right. Now this is the full story. Now, you remember that Absalom rebelled against David, his father, and he started a civil war, and so David had to run out of town. He ran into exile. And whilst he was moving into exile, he decided to let the priests stay in Jerusalem, and the priests had a son called Ahimaaz. They were actually two, Jonathan and Ahimaaz. And David told the priest that if they had any information that he needed to know, then they should send this young man, all right? And when Absalom plotted to come against David in a surprise attack, Ahimaaz was sent to bring the information, and he was very good at delivering that information. But then, ultimately, when the forces of Absalom and David met on the battlefield, the Bible says that Absalom was killed. Now, when Absalom was killed, Ahimaaz came to meet the scene of the victory of the armies of David over the armies of Absalom. He came to meet the end of the story. But there was another young man, Cushai, who was present when the battle was fought, when Absalom was cut down. He saw the whole story. He was a witness to the full context of the narrative. So Ahimaaz quickly said, "Well, let me run to the king and tell the king what I have seen." Joab looked at him and he said, "Young man, not today. Tell someone, not today." Joab, the commander of David's army, told Ahimaaz, "Not today." Then he turned to Cushai and he said, "You, Cushai, you run to the king and tell the king what has happened." Now, Cushai took off
Then Ahimaaz came again to Joab. He says, you still let me run with the information. And he pressed Joab. Joab says, okay, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Now, the problem here was that Ahimaaz had speed in running. He knew how to move fast. And so he overtook Cushai. And when the watchmen saw him running, they told the king. The king says, if he's running and he's alone, then he's bearing news. So the king was in expectation. When he got to the king says, what happened? He says, oh, I saw a tumult. I saw everybody shouting and screaming. The king said, what about my son Absalom? What happened? He says, no, I just saw a tumult. And the king said, stand aside. Tell someone, stand aside.
Stand aside.
Stand aside. Because what you are carrying is not the full context. You don't have context. You see, today there is a new trend on social media. Fake news. Sound bites. And some of us are guilty reading a short version of a story and adding a comment. Don't do that again. Don't add to a story for which you don't have full context. Stand aside. Then Cushai came and he had the full context of the story. So notice what is happening here. Ahimaaz, even though what he was carrying was fake news, he outran Cushai. And the king was disappointed in him. And the king shoved him to the side. You are not relevant. You are not carrying the fullness of information. You are not responsible for carrying information, for spreading information that you don't have the full context. As you rise into leadership, be careful what you open your mouth to make comment about. Are you hearing me? Not even a like comment, not even a hashtag or whatever they call it. Don't participate in any information. It is a trap. It shows your level when you don't have full context. There are times when people speak to you and you must weigh. There is a process to information. The first is context. The second is history. Say with me, history. The Bible says, for the elders obtained a good report. The elders represent history. Say with me, the elders represent history. Now, this is very important about any information you hear. History is the bloodline of any information that is credible information. History is the bloodline. Now, for every information, there is a history of patterns and cycles. For every information, there is a history of patterns and cycles. Say with me, for every information, there is a history of patterns and cycles. Now, this is very important. For every information, it is important before you spread that information. You know, the Bible says, be quick to hear, but be slow to speak. So it doesn't matter if you hear the information. that don't move, don't spread it, don't tell it to another person until you have the history. The history to that information. So the first thing is you know the whole story, not just a part of it. Number two, you must know the history. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Hallelujah. And I read from verse 5. The sun also ariseth. The sun goeth down and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. The Bible says, from one generation to another, the sun rises and sets, and it hastens to the place where it started from. The seas and the rivers flow in an unending cycle. The wind blows to the south and turns around and comes again from the north. An eastward wind goes in the same cycle. Life is about patterns and cycles. And so if you get hold of an information, it is important that you understand, has this thing been before? If you hear something about a person, it is important to establish whether there is that pattern or cycle in their lives before you even believe an information. If he has done it before, there is a potential he can do it again. If this thing has happened before with this community, there's a potential that it can happen again. If this has happened with the weather, tomorrow we're expecting an eclipse. Right? Good. Now, they've been able to track all the eclipses that have taken place in the earth from the time that they started recording these events. And they know that there's going to be a comet tomorrow based on tracking history. And they are able to predict that, I think, 2024, there's going to be another eclipse. So they are so sure of it because it is a cycle. It is a cycle. That's how information is. Every information, before it comes out of your mouth, keep hearing. Keep making, when you hear it, if it interests you, then make, first of all, a what? A research. To get the history. Look at whether it is a pattern, whether it is a cycle. But I've not finished yet. Good things manifest in our lives cyclically, just as much as bad things. The Apostle Paul said unto Timothy, he says that the unfeigned faith, the sincere, the genuine faith, 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says from verse 5,
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Louis and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The genuine faith that was in your grandmother Louis, we see it also in your mother Eunice. And he says, I see the same thing in you. That is what we call a cycle. Something that is passed on from one generation to another. One generation to another. Now, that was a good cycle, because that's how the bloodline works. When you build value in your life, it can be inherited by the next generation. But also, we thank God for the work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when any man comes to Christ, all things are passed away and all things are made new. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I read from verse 17. Well, let me start from verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says the only one we know after the flesh is Jesus Christ, because he was a man without sin. No sin was found in him. But for us, our history comes to an end with salvation in Jesus Christ. So if I was a thief, when I give my life to Christ, the cycle of theft is broken by the power of the blood of Jesus. Now this is very important. When we come to Christ, it is important to notice the patterns in our parents, patterns in our bloodline, patterns and cycles. It's important. Any area of life where our ancestors did not have the courage and did not tap into grace, to establish themselves in righteousness, a cycle is established. And if we are not careful, we will find ourselves operating in that cycle. If we are not what? Careful. So you pay attention to the cycles. If there is cycle of divorce, cycle of premature death, cycle of sickness, cycle of certain diseases, it is important for you to just take note and then break those cycles. Break those what? Because once you break the cycle, it no longer becomes part of your future, your lineage. It doesn't travel the bloodline again. When it gets to you, there must be a what? A full stop. But if you don't care about it, if you don't wage a war, you see, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ gives us the ability to wage war against every vice. To wage war and defeat. There is grace available. We have to tap into that grace.
And this is how you break cycles. You have to look for the scripture, for the word of grace, and confess them. He was bruised for my iniquities. He was wounded for my transgressions. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. He was cursed that the blessing of Abraham shall come upon me through faith. Hallelujah. He died that I may live. He became poor that through his poverty I shall become rich. That's how you break cycles. You invoke the blood of Jesus. So when you are dealing with a believer and somebody says that he has done something or she has done something. Sister Jackie did that. Sister Jackie did this. Is it in her history since she gave her life to Christ? Did you hear me? Is it in her history since she gave her life to Christ? Our history begins from the day that we give our lives to Christ. Are you hearing me? You have a new history. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made what? Brand new. So you have to assemble some scriptures in your life. Last week I spoke about the blessings of the commonwealth. What are the blessings, the redemptive blessings that we receive as believers? Ephesians chapter 2 says we are no longer strangers. Hallelujah. We are no longer what? Strangers from the covenant. We are now a part of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. And so you must assemble those scriptures. And every day, there are some things that you must confess. Every day, they must be part. They must be in your spirit. If they are in your spirit, when the devil shows up, when that demon that has been assigned in time to manifest the cycle shows up, your spirit will lift up the banner of the word of God in the name of Jesus. Your spirit will lift up a what? A banner. When the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up the word. It's standard. That's how you break cycles. Let it be in your spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Shout, I shall not die prematurely. I shall live to declare the good works of God. Now, there is a new cycle that begins when you start to say that. Because you establish the word of God, the word of redemption in your bloodline. Now, King David said, I was young and I am now old, yet have I not sinned. The righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Ooh, hallelujah. I have watched the cycle of the righteous. I have watched the pattern of their lives. You know what happens when you begin to operate in redemption. What you do is you take yourself and plug yourself into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the mold for every believer. When you are in the world, you never fit into that mold. You never fit into that mold. You never fit into that mold because of sin, because of unrighteousness, because of curses. You couldn't fit into that mold. But when you give your life to Christ, there is a new mold. There is a cross that you can fit into. You can fit into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. I can fit into that new mold. Hallelujah. That mold of victory. Victory over sin. Victory over sickness. Victory over disease. Victory over poverty. Victory over curses. Victory over premature death. Victory over depression. Victory over stress. I can fit into that mold. Let every man account of us as of Christ. Hallelujah. If anyone wants to judge us, let it be according to Christ and the work of redemption on the cross. This is how you break the pattern. To carry a cross and follow him. To accept every victory that Christ has won for you. This is how you exert victory in the blood line. In the blood line. Know no man therefore according to the flesh. If they are unbelievers, if they are unsaved, yes, the cycle continues. If they are in Christ and they have not done something to break the cycle, and they continue walking in the flesh whilst in Christ, you can believe that story about them. But when people begin to break cycles, don't judge them by their past. Judge them by their new life in Christ. It is very disastrous if, as a believer, you don't strive to fit into the mold of the cross of Jesus. If you don't work hard to break cycles, because people will continue to disqualify you based on your past. Rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. If a man be in Christ, all things are passed away. 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 All things are made brand new. Hallelujah. Say with me, I have grace to enjoy the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it again. I have grace to enjoy the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To fit into the mold of his cross. To be released from every demonic cycle. And every cycle of unrighteousness. By the blood of Jesus, I am released from every ancestral cycle. I break every cycle. Every demonic cycle. I evict blood-sucking demons that come and accost me time after time. Spirits of darkness that have programmed themselves into cycles of time. I break your visitations by the blood of Jesus. I release myself. I release my family by the blood of Jesus from every demonic cycle. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray in tongues. We break cycles of sickness. We break cycles of disease. We break cycles of infirmity. Cycles, cycles of unrighteousness. Cycles, cycles. Cycles, cycles. Cycles. Bandele sile, bandele bosile, rade rare rare, yele bele 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 be, rabonde la bosende le bosia, rabande le bosike ne bosia, rabe da bostele zoke ne boya, arebe be 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 be, ratetetetetetetete, fire fire, break every cycle in the bloodline, break every cycle in our bloodline,
fire fire,
break cycles, cycles, rabonde kada demonic cycles, fire. Fire! Yerebe, 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 yerebe. Bakudu
Break the chains. We break the chains. We break the chains of evil cycles. We break the chains of sickness. We break the chains of poverty. We break the cycles. Rabondo loboshia of curses. Blood of Jesus. Rabonda geto kase gatanto senga leprosia. Rabonda beka da pisto la shia da brostia. Rabade brosta la shia. Every demonic encroachment in our lives, in our space. Fire. Rabada broste. Let me break the chains. We break the chains. We break the chains. Every demonic chain, known or unknown, remain contoske na brestia. Rabonde bate kusin de brestia. We break cycles. Cycles of infirmity. Cycles of struggle. Cycles of barriers and limitations. Rabonde bunda. We break cycles of captivity. We break cycles of bondage. Fire, fire, fire. Bloodline cycles. Rabonde leboshia da boshe ne kriada. No weapon forged against us shall prosper. Yet to shakaya. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we condemn. Fire, fire, fire. Break the cycles of lack. Lakuto leboshia. The cycles of depravity. The cycles of deprivation. Fire, fire. Break the chains. Break the chains in our bloodline. We break the chains in our bloodline. Fire, fire, fire. Paternal curses. Maternal curses. We break the chains. Ruto kata. Yet the blood of Jesus. Flush, flush, flush our bloodline. Release our bloodline from every chain. In Jesus' mighty name. Fire, 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 fire. Rabadebo kaze konekedekeshia. Rabadebo dashia. Rabadebo dashia. In Jesus' name. Break, 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 break. I break every chain this morning. I break every chain. Natunde, thank you for the blood of Jesus. We release ourselves. We release ourselves. Fire, 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 fire.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone. By the voice of the blood of Jesus, I dismantle the shackles of demonic cycles in our bloodlines. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the shackles. I break the shackles. I break the chains. I break the shackles of demonic captivity, spiritual inhibition, curses, sickness, disease. By the blood of Jesus, I free our hands. I free our feet. I free our minds. I free every bloodline. We break every cycle. We destroy every demonic mold and pattern that hold God's people backward. We release the image and the likeness of God, the grace of the blood of Jesus, the victory of the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shout hallelujah. Give God praise. Give God praise. Take your seat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.